There's only one prayer in the book of Proverbs. Want to know what it says? Let's talk about it with Jay Payleitner on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
We're so glad you're here. You always have a place. I started to say at our table, but we're all still in our homes. So you can visit there if you would like, but we're glad you're with us. I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Matthew Porter's with us. Matthew thinks the International Space Station would make the ultimate man cave. And it would.
They might frown on smoking a pipe, but other than that.
Yeah, they won't let you smoke on the space station. Besides, it's hard to smoke a pipe anyway wearing this stupid mask. So I can deal with it. Our producer, Jinx, is working hard in this little glass booth. Jinx believes gun control means being able to hit your target.
Absolutely.
You have an arsenal?
Well, allegedly.
Our video director, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. With all this extra time at home, John has expanded his front yard light show. It's something else. It includes the 4th of July, International Taco Day, and Rosh Hashanah.
You know,
all kidding aside, John, do you have a light show going right now?
That's a no. He's not.
It's a no, he said.
Okay. Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. If you want to donate your organs, call your doctor. If you want to donate anything else, call Dr. Bingham and he'll accept it. And rise up and call you blessed and squeeze every dime for a good cause. And then Kathy Wyatt, of course, is here. She's the soft feminine side of the program. Kathy recently overbaked a batch of cookies, or as she describes it, she burned 1,800 calories in 20 minutes.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
That's true. We have a great guest today. His name's Jay Payleitner. And some of us have known Jay before some of you were ever born. He is a top freelance producer for Christian radio, having worked on Josh McDowell Radio, Today's Father, Jesus Freaks Radio, Project Angel Tree with Chuck Colton, and also a long time ago with Key Life. He speaks at men's retreats, marriage weekends, writers' conferences, and weekend services. He has written 30 books. Every time Jay burps, they publish it. And he sold more than 500,000 copies. And the latest book is titled The Prayer of Agar, Ancient Wisdom for Discovering Your Sweet Spot in Life. Jay, it's good to have you with us.
Professor Brown, Dr. Brown, Steve, my old friend, what a delight, what a privilege to hang out with your crew here. You guys are nicer and cuter than I deserve.
And we're good looking too. Did you notice that?
And yeah.
When we first met, you had hair and I did too, and neither of us had a beard.
Yep.
Things change, don't they?
The more things change, the more they stay the same. There you go. Write that down, everybody.
Kathy, you were saying something.
I was just saying, and when we first met Jay, he had a whole bunch of little boys, and then finally had a little girl, and now he's got myriads of grandchildren. He can have, once the pandemic is over, he can open his own daycare center.
Well, that has been the toughest part of the pandemic, not being able to hug my kid, my grandkids.
Yeah.
But we're easing back into that. Respectfully, of course.
Yeah, how did you come on this prayer? I mean, it's not one I've ever read a book on.
Well,
I've never read extensive commentary on it. I don't think even when I taught Proverbs at the Cove, I don't think I referred to it even once. Were you just flipping through the Bible and the Holy Spirit led you to this chapter and then you went, whoa?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit did lead me to it, but it was a throwaway verse at a talk. I was at a men's event, and it was just a mention in a pastor's talk. And boy, it was like, oh man, what is that? What does that say that again? And we've all done that—a verse that hits you and you can't get out of your mind. It kind of changes you, and that happened to me with Proverbs 30. Verses 8 and 9, which I lovingly call the prayer of Agur. And it's, as you said, the open the program, it's the only prayer in all of Proverbs.
It's a wonder. You know, I thought when I saw the title of your book that you had written another prayer of Jabez type book. We're going to sell another 10 million copies of it. And
well,
we
that's
can
fine.
Use it for a contribution. But this one doesn't promise the kind of wealth that Jabez are blessing. So how do you expect to sell books if you don't put wealth and power and leverage in it?
Well, it's well worth noting that Multnomah, which published the prayer of Jabez 20 years ago now and sold 9 or 10 million copies, is also publishing the prayer of Agur. Which is A-G-U-R, by the way, just for your listening friends out there. No, I think I'd much rather live in God's sweet spot than have all the $1 billion. Because if you have $1 billion, then you got to take care of it. I would rather live in the sweet spot with neither poverty nor riches. Let me go ahead, if I may, then go ahead and read the prayer. The prayer of Agur, Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Get your Bibles open, folks. Can I do that?
As long as they're not driving.
Go ahead.
He says...
Do you know where Proverbs...
Say again?
Is.
I'm sorry. Say again, please.
Did we lose Steve?
Steve, I think we lost Steve.
Do you know where Proverbs is? Yeah. Go ahead. We'll just keep on without him. Okay. We'll get him back. Okay.
So listen,
Jay, now. Would you read the prayer one more time? We lost you there for a minute.
Worth noting is that Solomon. Worth noting is that, of course, Proverbs has 31.
I have a Bible here somewhere in my study. I guess I could.
Well, I would hope you would.
Proverbs is 31. What? I don't know the answer.
That was 8 and 9.
Proverbs 30, 8 and 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Somebody can read that while we're waiting to get him back. Mr. Brown, you're the one that knows the Bible.
Yeah. Well, don't you have it memorized?
Sure.
Surely you have one right there within arm's reach.
Listen, I've got more Bibles. You wouldn't
that one looks
how many
that one looks well worn.
I like that. Can and you buy you a Bible that's already pre-worn? That kind of
so it looks like
jeans.
You read it regularly.
Yeah, Levi's probably makes one.
You could buy blue jeans that look already 10 years old
with holes in them and everything.
Right. I want to buy a Bible that just looks like you're really bringing it.
Where the pages are highlighted and dirty.
Yes.
Coming apart. That means I spend a lot of time in the Word.
I like it.
Or that it's the cheap cover. And I think it's the cheap cover that causes it to look so bad. If you give me a minute, I'll find this.
That sounds good.
Get Jay back. I'm not going to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. Don't lick your fingers again.
Yeah. Like that lady that made the announcement about the virus and then kept licking her fingers to flip the pages. Right. Yeah, that was really bad.
Mixed messages there.
This is a good passage, by the way. Listen to this. The words of Agur, the son of Jalik, the oracle. The man declares, I'm weary, O God. I'm weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the Holy One. who has ascended to heaven and come down, who has gathered the wind in his fist, who has wrapped up the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What's his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. And then I'm going to skip down to the seventh verse. I just had to read that because it was so good. And this is the seventh and eighth verse. Two things. This is his prayer. I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of our God. Guys, we're going to back out for a little while. We're going to try to reach Jay again. There's a lot of technology, but we have some very smart people who know what they're doing. So
I'll go get them.
And you're one of them. John can't fix it. We got a problem, man. But we'll get Jay back on. If not, I'm going to ask Matthew to preach a sermon on the text that I just read to you. And it'll be fine.
And take
don't
up
go
a
anywhere.
Collection.
You want to see what's going to happen.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and our guest is Jay Payliner, and his latest book is titled The Prayer of Agur, Ancient Wisdom for Discovering Your Sweet Spot in Life. We have been discussing why the technology has been a problem this time. We've decided it was either Satan or it was God, and we're not sure which. Or it could be our sin, or it could be just a bad internet connection. And we're going to pray about it, and we'll get back to you on that. Meanwhile, while you were gone, Jay, I got out a Bible. I do have one in my study. I read the first part of that chapter, but I stopped before I got to verse 7 and 8. So you might want to read that prayer again, the entire prayer, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate your patience with me and the internet. Listen, folks, what a great prayer this is. This is about finding God's sweet spot. It says, this is the Agur praying to God. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Then he goes on to say, otherwise, and this is a prayer, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. It's amazing. I mean, Agur identifies his weakness, which is materialism, stuff. And he prays to live in God's sweet spot. If he has too much, he knows. If he has too much, he'll start to think it's all about him. and say, who is the Lord? And if he has too little, he knows who he is. He may steal and dishonor God. He wants balance. But really, Steve, he says only his daily bread, which is kind of he doesn't want his daily bread. He wants only his daily bread. That's one of the parts that's so amazing to me.
Do you you speak in your book of minimalists and rich people? I think your book's probably, as well as this prayer, going to offend both, isn't it?
I'm not going to worry about that, certainly. But again, I think minimalists who are constantly going to their left, or, well, left or right, but doesn't make a difference, I suppose, they're both banging off guardrails, because if you want more, you can never have enough. And if you want less, you can never have a little enough. So that sweet spot, driving down the road, not banging off the guardrails of life, is where I think God wants us to be. I'm remembering the Israelites in the desert, 40 years, and all they got was manna in the desert, but it was just enough for that one day. As a matter of fact, if they grabbed enough, am I right? If they grabbed enough for 2 days, it would spoil anyways. So we should pray for only what we need. Otherwise, what we do have is going to spoil. I think that might be biblical.
Oh, yeah. We have a friend. His name's Cleve Bell. He's a former prisoner, first-degree murderer, and runs a halfway house now. And I heard him say one time, I said to the Lord, I would like $20,000 in the bank. And he said, God said to him, Cleve, how much do you need? And Cleve said, Lord, that ain't the point. It would be nice to have a buffer. Could you give me $20,000? And he said that Jesus said, when you need it, you'll get it. So the sweet spot, Matthew.
Well, it's so funny. I mean, it sounds a little bit familiar to give us this day our daily bread. So even though this is kind of a standalone, the only prayer in Proverbs, it feels like this is carrying on a sentiment that we see in other places as well. And
Jesus did, didn't he, Jay? I
think we lost Jay again.
Well, I'll answer for Jay. He left when you were talking, Matthew.
Listen, I didn't mean to take the thing
before we go back. Okay.
He was just stunned.
But that's an insight. It is part of the prayer of Jesus.
He's back.
Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, I have needs. You know those needs. I've got to have another gift from you, which is to trust you without having to have the $20,000 in the bank.
Jay's
James,
back.
You were going to say something.
Jay's back too.
I was just saying, Jay got back. We found him again. Okay. Every time Matt talks, he leaves. He's like, I'm done.
That's what it is. It's Matthew.
We've decided it's Matthew. Every time he talks, we lose you.
Well, again, thank you for your patience. And also your listeners, thank you for their patience. But again, you've got a whole crew here who can add more wisdom than I'll ever be able to do.
Never.
It's a very sneaky way to get us all to talk more.
Yeah.
You talked about, Matthew said that there are other places in Scripture, and I assume the Lord's Prayer and other places. This is not a new thought, is it?
Well, this is stuff I learned from you over the years. It's very similar to Ecclesiastes 9, that great verse, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And that doesn't mean you're out doing great things or doing small things. It's whatever God puts in front of you right now, that's kind of God's sweet spot.
Is the sweet spot the cards that God deals to us and that we're comfortable with?
Yes, I think very much of that. God wants us not to live in chaos and confusion. In my interpretation, I mean, too many people think that being a Christian is going to be hard work or tedious or unfulfilling or backbreaking, as if God wants us to be miserable. Sometimes we have to dig deep and set aside everything and just work really hard. But I think, and this is an interesting thought. Tell me if you agree that God wants us to do stuff that kind of comes easy to us. We are God's workmanship. He has prepared us for specific works to do. And our natural giftedness, the stuff that you can do, that you like to do, that's good, that makes you happy, that brings you joy, that you're good at, that's a gift. That's a gift you can give back to God. God wants you to do stuff that comes easy. If you can dance, dance. If you can write, if you can produce radio programs, do that. If you can build, if you can plant, if you can hug and just be the best hugger you can. I think that would be living in God's sweet spot. And I think that's what the prayer of anger is all about.
I do too. And I think what you're saying is heresy in some Christian circles. Lay on the guilt, make an impact. Go to the hard places. You can tell if it's God's will or not by checking whether or not you want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, it's God's will. If you do want to do it, it's probably sin. But Jay, and we'll pursue it on the other side of the break, but Jay, I rise up and call you blessed for what you just said. It needs to be said so often. God is a poker player. He deals the cards, and you play with them as best you can.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Listening to Steve Brown, etc., and we're so glad that you've joined our crew. This is an interesting concept, and I bet it's a place you haven't gone before or thought much about. I've never heard a sermon on the Prayer of Anger, but this is a book called The Prayer of Anger, Ancient Wisdom for Discovering Your Sweet Spot in Life. It's written by Jay Palliner, and he's our guest on the program.
Jay, you were talking about the sweet spot being where it's like it feels natural, things come easily. We're in some really challenging times with the riots going on, the concern over the protesters are expressing, the coronavirus. Does it suggest that Christians are supposed to play it safe and just, you know, wait for the easy thing to come along?
Well, yeah, I wrote this book, 18 months ago. Had no idea that it would come out in June of 2020 when we're in the middle of this chaos, both for both the coronavirus and the death of George Floyd in that terrible video. But I do need to say that sometimes we need to take great action. If you flip over from Proverbs just a few pages to the right, you get to Ecclesiastes, and the great verses about a time for every purpose. You know, there is a time to scatter stones. There is a time to gather them. There is a time to kill, time to heal. So we need to go to extremes sometimes, but the goal is always to come back and settle in God's sweet spot. And when we're talking about the coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders and all that controversy, we want to be safe. but we want to be productive. And there's ways to do that, which is, I think, not to that extent. We're not banging off guardrails. We're going to be safe and we're going to be productive. When it comes to protesting any kind of injustice, yeah, we can have protests, but they need to be peaceful protests. There's ways to do that. And again, the extremes are the things that get us in trouble. Again, totally understanding that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I keep coming back to, again, Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Writing this book, I came to realize that Agur's weakness was stuff. But we all have different, we all have our own weaknesses. We could go around the table here and the virtual table and all describe our own weaknesses. What do you think?
Not me. I'm ordained.
It would take too long.
Yeah, right. But you said off the air that it applies to everything, all seven of the deadly sins.
Well, sure. We all have our own weaknesses, and it could be, and we need to work to identify that. We not shouldn't be shy about attacking those, but anger, envy, work, workaholism could be, food could be a weakness, and you can see how we need to eat, but we not to eat too much. So we need to say no to that last slice of pizza. Need to say no to that additional adult beverage sometimes, guys. And we go to extremes. And so I guess the question is, and maybe the whole purpose of this book and our conversation is, what's your weakness? And wouldn't it be nice if you could stop banging off the guardrails of too much, too little, and stay on God's path?
Mm. Man.
Where'd it come from? You know, we want the, is it a matter of, it's not just sin, it feels like, the excess, you wanting the more money. It's it feels like we want to dig our own wells in a way. We want to be able to, yes, trust God, but just in case he fails us, we've got a little insurance. We've got a plan B back here for the money and for other things. Is that part of the origin of this desire for more?
I think it's our sinful condition, and it's worth reminding folks who are whose weakness is materialism that, you know what, God is not impressed with your Rolex. God is not impressed with your washboard abs. He's not impressed with your trophy wife or your. You know what? I'm sorry to say this, but God is not impressed with your $1 million gift to Key Life or some other charity. God is not impressed with George, us.
No, God.
Erase that.
He might be.
Go ahead and send it and see.
Check it out.
I do take it.
If he's
back.
Not, we'll send it back.
And you know what? I think a few dandelions in your lawn is okay, Steve, right? Am I right?
Right.
If your car has a few rust spots on it, that's okay too. If you don't get into Harvard or your kid doesn't get into Harvard, that's also okay. And you know what? God, I think, wants you to be okay with this too. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Isn't that the secret of peace? Being okay. As long as you got enough to eat, even if you're not eating lobster, as long as you can get where you need to go, even if you're not driving a Mercedes.
Well,
it's okay to be angry, Paul said, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. It may be not only the sweet spot, but the peace spot where we can rest in the flow that a sovereign God ordains for our lives. Deal with what he ordains for us to deal with, and then do that and not feel guilty that we're not doing everything else. Jay, this book's going to help us do that. I'm not there. I'm going to read the book and use it for my devotions, and if I get better, I'll send you the $1 million gift somebody else sends to us. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, we're so glad you're with us. Our guest is Jay Payleitner. It's a great little book that you can read quickly. You can read it in an evening, and you'll think about it maybe for the rest of your life. The Prayer of Anger, Ancient Wisdom for Discovering Your Sweet Spot in Life. And by the way, Jay, you can find out more about him at Jay Payleitner. And Payleitner is spelled Payleitner, jpayleitner.com. Or you can follow him on Twitter at Jay Payleitner.
Actually, it might even be easier just to Google the Prayer of Anger, A-G-U-R. I think that'll get to me. But a good old German name, Payleitner, Payleitner.
You ought to have my name, Brown.
Well,
I mean, there are millions of us.
There are a million. There's only one G. There's only one J. Payleitner. And you know what? There's only one Steve Brown. Let's all admit that.
How do you spell that, Steve? How do you spell Brown, by the way?
I put an E on the end of it.
Don't do that.
A little bit of sophistication.
It has to be ornery. Hey, Jay, what about when you talk about the sweet spot? Obviously, everybody's, at least I certainly hope so, everybody's sweet spot is, and I think you alluded to it before the break, but everybody's sweet spot is not the same.
Well, that's the beauty of it. We all are part of the kingdom. We all have our different gifts. We're all branches, and we all have work to do. If we all were going to write books, we're all going to have radio programs, we're all going to go over to some, start some missionary church in some foreign land, then who would be left over here? So we all have our work to do. And I think in God's wisdom, he makes sure that, you know what, that this job is going to get taken care of, and this job is going to get taken care of. He's given everybody a different sweet spot. So find yours, find your sweet spot. Look at your weakness, and see how your sweet spot comes out of that.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You need to depend on God's guidance and provision, and got to lean into God. What is that great verse? James 4, I think. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The closer we get to God, and the closer we pursue his will, and hang out with other folks who know his will and read the scripture, draw near to God, and he's gonna help you find that sweet spot. It sounds like a simple answer, but it's the same answer.
That works.
That works.
Jay, are we ever in the sweet spot and not aware of it? Are we ever fighting against right where we should be?
I think, absolutely we can be. Sometimes married couples, if you look at a married couple in a restaurant, they're not talking to each other. Maybe it's not that they're miserable or in conflict. Maybe they are just in that serenity and they know each other and they appreciate each other. So I think if we're living and going along, it's like, man, this is working. We know that. We've all been there. Things are kind of going well now. My wife loves me. My kids are doing okay. I had a crisis last week, but I think I've resolved that. I'm trusting God to look forward. I got fired from 3 jobs. In that moment, that's when I first realized I was in God's sweet spot, because I knew he was going to take care of me. That's a stunning concept. And that's what we all should be shooting for.
Do you think that sometimes we're always working to define ourselves instead of allowing God to define us with his love, who we really are?
Wow, that's exactly right. And that's kind of what your ministry is all about, Steve, is that idea of be who you are, be your best self, and stop beating yourself up over one sin over here. Stop beating yourself up because of failure over here. Or stop beating yourself up because you lost a battle. Because we all lose battles. That's kind of part of our human condition because we're not home yet.
You know, going back, Jinx, to what you said about mm-hmm. being in the sweet spot and not knowing it, there's probably discomfort in that. You know, there are things that I try to do. I one time tried to lead music in a church where I was the pastor. They said I looked like a dying bird in doing that. And not only that, I was very, very uncomfortable. And you can take that micro illustration and make it into a macro one about how we live our lives. There are so many things I want to do, so many kinds of people I want to be, so many places I want to make an impact. And in doing all of that, I create anxiety in me that is awful. Instead, as Jay has said, you just be still, move to God. And as he deals out the areas of your life, rejoice in it and ask him to tell you that's enough. Matthew?
You know, it's funny, Jay. It feels like this idea goes kind of counter to some of our American ethos of, you know, if this is good, you know, more would be better. I think of an old Frasier episode, and they said, you know, they were going to direct an orchestra, make it very small. And he says, less is more. And then they made it huge. He goes, yes, if less is more, imagine how much more is. So we kind of have to kind of deprogram a little bit, I would think, to wrap our brains around this.
Maybe the way to close off this program is to remind the ladies and gentlemen listening out there that God loves you just the way you are, which means that gives us the freedom to move forward and explore life and dream dreams without panicking over whether we succeed or fail. He loves us when our cup is empty. He loves us when our cup overflows. And actually, that's part of his plan, to love us even in our sweet spot when we're not sure what's happening down the road, but we have confidence that he's going to take care of us because only our daily bread. Don't give us more. Don't give us less, but give us just only our daily bread. And we go, thank you. I can handle this, and I'm going to give it back to you.
And that's a gift from him, too, to be able to do that, isn't it? I mean, we're not too good at this, frankly. And so he has to not only tell us what we need to do, but give us the gasoline to do it.
Well, and as Matthew said, it's not part of our Western culture, which is why when I first heard this verse, the prayer of Agur, you know what? And go to Proverbs 30 and read the whole chapter. And you'll see you go, oh, wow, that's something I can use. And that's my hope and prayer for this book and for our time here today. Thanks, Steve.
Oh, man, it's been great having you. You keep writing these wonderful books. Don't let the smallness of it fool you. This book can change your life. It really is the essence on how to live the Christian life. Jay, quickly, are you working on something else?
You know what? I'm thinking about the prayer of Stephen. That's a great prayer, too. Stephen, the first martyr. And while he was being stoned, Saul was washing the garments. What a great thing that is. But that's my book. Don't write that book, Steve.
Don't find a text that talks about wealth and power, you're not going to sell a lot of books. But we'll have you on. We'll talk about it on Steve Brown, etc.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
We've been talking to Jay Payleitner, an old-time friend for many of us. And he has this unique ability to say things simply, to find places in the scripture that most people don't go, to lift them up and say, I want to remind you of something that's really important. And you got a little bit of it today. You ought to get The Prayer of Agur. It's a great little book, and it'll remind you, especially during this time when nothing is working right, absolutely nothing, including technology. And you feel like your world's coming apart, and then you realize if God's not in charge of this mess and me, we've got a problem that's bigger than the protest and the riots and the virus. But he is in charge. And not only that, he is, as it were, a poker dealer. And he deals cards, and all you have to do is to get up in the morning and to say, as my friend Tony Campolo says every day of his life, hey, Jesus, what kind of neat things are we going to do today? And God has stuff planned for you as soon as this broadcast is over, for your day tomorrow and the day next day. But you won't know about the next day until the next day comes. As God deals it out, play it as best you can. If you screw it up, he'll forgive you. If you don't, he'll rejoice with you in what he's done through your life. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Well, next week, I'm excited to have Stephen Mansfield back with us. You know, we've had him on before. He typically, in his illustrative writing career, has done a lot of historical figures written about it. We interviewed him about his book about George W. Bush. We also talked with him about his book about Churchill and at least one other, I think. But anyway, he does have a new book out. And this one's a little different this time. It's titled Men of Fire: Restoring the Forces That Forge Noble Manhood. So he will be with us next week. And also, we are getting ready to record with our good friend who we've known for 3 or 4 years now, Bishop Herbert Andrew, who is from Louisiana. And he was involved with us 2 different years in a row with our Grace Encounter conferences that we did. A dear, dear African-American brother. And we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that's going on right now.
All right. And by the way, you might want to check the website. We, Jerry Perry's, my beloved brother, and I are going to sit down, talk about exactly the same thing. Might want to look for that too. Right now, we got to go. But like Jesus, we're going to come back, and it's our fond hope that you join us. Same place, same time. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.